that can take its place. Amen. Thank God. Great good world. Take your Bibles this morning. Turn with us to the book of Luke, chapter number 14. Matthew, Mark, Luke. That's the third book in your New Testament. Luke chapter 14. You find your place. You stand in honor of God's Word. Luke 14. Good to see you here at the house of the Lord. Luke 14. Look down to verse number 15. Luke chapter 14, verse number 15. Everybody got it?
Amen.
What's the first word?
Amen.
Man, that sounds good right there. Amen. I like that. Bible said, and when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper, and bade many, and sent his servants at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all, with one consent, began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. By the way, what kind of nut would buy some land and ain't never saw it? Amen. He said, I got to go see it. I bought it. I got to go see it. That's his excuse. Amen. Kind of like buying an oceanfront property in Arizona or something like that, you know. Bible said, the next one said, verse number 19, and another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. Same one is excused. Don't make any sense. You know what? You know what the problem is today? People's got a many of excuses, but if you be really honest and listen to yourself, you make no sense in your excuses.
Amen.
The Bible said, and another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. He didn't pray to be excused. This guy really thought he had a legit excuse, amen. The first two, after they said it, they said, I pray thee have me excused. I pray thee had me excused. The other one said, man, I got a wife and I just can't come. You surely got to understand. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Verse 21. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. By the last remark there in verse 24, I would believe that the Lord's a little bit upset about the excuses.
Mm-hmm.
I believe he's a little bit upset about them turning down his offer to come and sup with him. Matter of fact, he said, I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. Oh, we thank you for the joy in our hearts to be here in the meeting place. Oh, Lord, we come, Lord, to worship you. I pray, dear Lord, that we do just that. Bind the powers of Satan, God. We ask for the filling of the Holy Ghost. Power from on high, God, to preach your word. Power and demonstration of thy spirit. God, we pray that find lodging place in hearts and challenge lives. And God, as we look at this biblical invitation here this morning, God, that spirit of God would invite others, Lord, to do things for you. And God, when that invitation is given, God, there'd be no one in our midst that would reject the offer that you've set before us this day. God, deal with hearts. God, change lives, God, from this day forth, that they can look back to this July the 7th at Hopewell Baptist Church and say, that was a changing point in my Christian life. God, I know you can do it, God, and we're expecting great things from you today. Do what needs to be done, God, and help us to bow our heads and praise you and thank you for what you do when it's all said and done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. Doctrinally. If you know anything about Bible study, there's three applications of Scripture. There's a doctrinal application, and that's just simply the truth that's being put right before you as it is. There's a historical application. That means there's the history of what's going on at the time when it was spoken. And then there's spiritual applications. And the spiritual applications, you can look at something, just make an application and say, this is how that can apply to that. And you find many spiritual applications in the Scripture. But as we look at these verses of Scripture this morning in the book of Luke, there's a doctrinal application to this passage. It deals with an invitation to a wedding supper. The master himself, he's bid those to come to his supper. He sent his servant, amen, the Holy Ghost of God and the people of God to invite others to come. And he's at that wedding supper that's taking place near the end of the great tribulation period, which is the time of Jacob's trouble. When the church has been raptured out, we'll be up in heaven. We'll be the ones, by the way, at the marriage. We're the bride, amen, to the groom. Jesus Christ is the groom and the church is the bride. And as we're up in heaven, up there at the marriage, there's a marriage supper of the Lamb that takes place after the marriage. Kind of like a reception that takes place at marriages today. And the Lord looked out and He said, man, this house is empty. Heaven is empty. And I'd like to fill it up with guests. I'd like to have some people at my wedding. Who wouldn't like to have people at their wedding, amen? People to show up, to eat all the meal that's been prepared and to fellowship with the bride and the groom and just enjoy a blessed time. Amen. It's no different with God up in glory. At this time, He's bidding His service. He said, go down, amen. I want you to tell them to come. I want you to invite them to come. Let them come and take part of the supper. This invitation is taking place on the tribulation period. The servants of God with a sealing in their forehead, with the fire of the Holy Ghost, are going out and inviting people to supper, saying, hey, there's a marriage supper going on. Hey, there's a bride and his groom is waiting to get married. Hey, got a great reception up there. Won't you come? Don't deny the mark of the beast. Deny the Antichrist. Accept the invitation and come be with God in glory. What a time we're going to have when it's there. The invitation has been offered. It's been given, amen. But we see this morning, I want to look at it spiritually. I want to look at this thing this morning as we look at this invitation. And I want us all of us, to look at this thing real sensitive by God. Let the Holy Ghost speak to our hearts as God is inviting us today. God is inviting us through this passage. He may be inviting you to salvation today. He may be inviting you to service today. He may be inviting you to surrender today. I don't know what God might be inviting you to, but I know the Holy Ghost has got us here this morning and He's wanting to invite us to sup with Him. And whether it be in salvation, whether it be in service or surrender, you can go on and on, amen. You just be sensitive to God. And if God invites you to come, I want to beckon you to come to God this morning. Whatever the need might be, God's saying come. He wants you to come to Him. He's got an invitation for all to come, amen. I want you to see, first of all, the exhortation. The exhortation. What is the exhortation? Well, the exhortation is to come. Look in verses number 16 and 17 with me in your Bible. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper. That certain man is God. And he bade many. And he sent his servant, the Holy Ghost, if you will, his servants at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come. For all things are now ready. The first thing I see in the exhortation is the call to come. He said, come. Amen. Hey, if you know anything about your Bible, one of the most blessed words in your Bible is C-O-M-E. To come. Amen. Hey, God is an inviting God. Amen. And God, this morning, I'm telling you, you just listen to God. He's asking you to come. I don't know what He's asking you to come and do. I don't know what He's dealing with you on your heart. But I know if you'll be sensitive to God, God will speak to you about something. God will ask you to come. He'll ask you to do something with what He's given you. He'll ask you to answer to Him what He's calling you about. He says, come unto me. Amen. Let me show you a couple of things in your Bible about this word come. Hold your place here in Luke and look with me first of all in John. John. Well, look in Matthew, the first book in your New Testament. Let's go there first. Come. Let's look at a couple of calls that God gives mankind to come. What does He call us to do? Well, He calls you, first of all, in Matthew chapter number 11. Look in verse 28 and 29. These are very familiar Scriptures, but I want you to see them and let the Spirit of God speak to you this morning. God is calling us through the Scriptures. The great call of come. He maybe is calling you this morning to rest. God's maybe calling you to come out from among this old weary world. Come up in the sheltering arms of God and take a little relief. Take a little rest. You're wearied and you're torn and you're beat down. Maybe through sin, maybe through sickness, maybe through situations in your life. I don't know what it is, but maybe God's saying, why don't you just come? Won't you just cast your cares upon me? Won't you come and sup with me? Won't you come rest a little while? I'm tired of seeing you weary. I'm tired of seeing you worn. Just come unto me. Amen. He said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, what does he say? Come unto me. He said he didn't say come into the church. He said he didn't say come into the preacher. He didn't say come into the pope. He didn't say come into your wife, come into your husband. He said come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And he said, I will give you rest. Thank God he can give you rest this morning. Thank God he can give rest to the weary soul. Thank God he can give a little relaxation to a child of God. Won't you just come unto him? Amen. We're living in an age where Christians are wore out. They're beat down by the world. They're beat down by situations in life. And God's saying tonight, he's saying this morning, excuse me, just come unto me. Just come down here. I've got all things ready. I've taken care of everything. Just come unto me. Amen. And I will give you rest. This world can't give you rest, but there's a God in heaven that can give you rest. He can comfort your heart. There's some people here this morning without comfort, amen. You're tossing and turning. You have no spiritual rest. And God's saying, come, I've got it, amen. Come, I'll give it to you. He wouldn't ask you to come if he couldn't do it. Thanks be to God, he can do it, amen. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. He says, come and rest. Not only is he beckoning us to come and rest, he says, come and get some assurance. Look in Luke chapter number 36. Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. Turn in your Bible with me. Luke chapter number 6. God says, come. What a call. What a God, amen, that would even call us even to come unto him. Why would God even take notice of us to even tell us to come? Why would God even care about if we got rest the way we live in our lives? You ought to be blessed. You are blessed, amen. You ought to be amazed at how God would even ask you to come this morning. Maybe some of you are without rest, and you're without rest because your own life, your own disobedience, and God still says, just come unto me. Come unto me, all ye that labor in a heavy lake. I'll give thee rest. Amen. Thank God he beckons you to come. And if God beckons you to come, just come, amen. Listen, by the way, amen, as God gives an invitation this morning, this message is a continual invitation. This ain't one you wait at the end and we sing just as I am and you come. It's a continual invitation. God's always calling, amen. And if God beckons on your heart to come, you make your way down this altar. You won't bother this preacher one bit. I'll keep preaching the Word of God and somebody else might come. You just do business with God. Thank God that he's asking you to come, amen. He said, come. I wouldn't wait for an invitation to come. Hey, it might be gone then, amen. You might have made too many excuses and he'll go get somebody else. You better come while he's calling, amen. Come and get some rest. Come and get some reassurance. John chapter number 6, look in verse number 37. The Bible says this, all that the Father gave me, giveth me, shall come to me. You see that? All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, John 6:37. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Brother, you talking about some assurance. Brother, maybe you need to come and get some reassurance. He said, all that cometh to me, amen, I will in no wise cast out. Hey, it looks like, by the way, you're turning, looking out, I gave you the wrong reference, but it's all right. It's in John, amen. It's in John chapter 6, verse 37. You just look up here at me, amen. I guarantee you it's in there, amen. He said, come unto me, amen. Amen. He'll give you reassurance to your soul. Amen. All that the Father giveth me, he said, I will no wise cast out. Thank God he'll never turn his back on us. Amen. Thank God he'll never let us down. Thank God he'll never push us away. He said, come and get some assurance. Amen. Maybe you need some assurance of your salvation. Maybe you're not even sure that you're his. And God's saying, come, just come down here and sup with me. Let me let you know I'm yours. And maybe he's saying, come and become mine. Amen. Whatever he's calling you to do, God's saying, come. Amen. Thank God there was a day in my life at 21 years of age I was lost without God. And the sweet Holy Ghost of God said, come, boy. You're weary in this world. You're beating yourself down. You're dying and going to a devil's hell. If you'll come into me, I'll no wise cast you out. And ever since I was the age of 21, God's kept me, amen. God's kept his promise. And God will keep it till I go home, amen. He that begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He said, come and get some rest. He said, come and get some reassurance. He said, come and get some refreshing. Look in John chapter number 7. Amen. John 6:37. Now look at John 7:37. Come. Come and get some refreshing. Maybe you need some refreshing. Maybe you need another. Maybe you need a drink. Maybe you're thirsty. Amen. Amen. You're thirsty. It's parched, if you will. You got wearied in this old journey. Amen. Maybe you need a little bit of refreshment from God. Amen. God can give it to you. There's no need for a child of God being worn out on the journey. I don't want you wore out. Amen. God don't want your thirst parched. Amen. I want to quench your thirst. He said in John 7, verse 37, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, He cried and said it. Amen. He's up there in heaven today. I believe He's still got the same spirit. Amen. He cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. He said, come if you're thirsty. Come get a drink. Amen. It's like that old woman in John chapter number 4. She come up to the well that day thirsty, dropping down her old pail. Amen. Hey, despised by the world. Nobody wanted anything to do with her. She was like the poor, the maimed, and the halt. Amen. Hey, she was an old harlot. Amen. She'd wasted her life in a riotous lifestyle. And God came up to her and said, let me give you a drink of living water. And she said, Lord, give me a drink that I never thirst again. I'm telling you, God can refresh your soul if you'll come and get a drink. Amen. Maybe the reason why you're thirsty, you're not drinking.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. You're not drinking. God's got a fountain. Amen. Hey, draw with a manual's vein. Amen. Drawn from a manual's vein. Amen. Flowing with the blood of Jesus Christ. It can quench your thirst of your soul. It can satisfy your life. Won't you come get a drink of Jesus? Amen. But I'll tell you what, I don't know about your salvation, but when I got a drink, it refreshed my soul. It satisfied the longing in my soul. I was like that woman, amen. I had to go tell somebody, come see a man that told me all that. Is he not the Christ? Is this not the one? Is this not the source of happiness? Is this not the source of refreshing? Is this not the source of rest? Won't you come under him, amen? You got it, amen. If you got it, you want to tell it, amen. Somebody got to make you and twist your arm to tell somebody you got it. Brother, you glad you got a drink. Hey, won't you come get a drink of refreshing? You know what he said in Isaiah 55 verse 1? He said, ho, everyone that thirsteth, everyone that thirsteth. Well, that means anybody can draw up this old well. Anybody can come up this old drinking trough, if you will. He said, everyone that thirsteth. He said, preacher, you just don't know me. He said, everyone that thirsteth. He didn't ask you where you've been. He didn't ask you what you've been doing. He didn't ask you what color you were. He didn't ask you what creed you were. He didn't ask you what kind of beliefs you had. He said, ho, everyone that thirsteth. And what did he say? He said, come ye to the waters. And he that have no money, come ye buy and eat. How can I buy and eat if I ain't got no money? He said, you just come. It's on my tab, amen. Everybody's drinking on me tonight, amen. Jesus said, I've done paid the bartender. The Holy Ghost of God's coming to you saying, come get a drink, amen. He said, ho, everyone that thirsts, come ye unto the waters. And he that have no money, come and buy and eat. And ye, yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. You know what's amazing about that passage of Scripture as I was reading that thing? There's three times he says, come. Come ye to the waters. That's the Father. Come ye to buy and eat. Amen. That's the Son. John 6 where he says, eat of me. And he said in the third part of that verse, come ye buy wine. That's the Holy Ghost of God. The Father said, come. The Holy Ghost said, come. The Son said, come. He said, if you're thirsty, just come. I'll quench your thirst. Amen. The invitation is sent out to come. He's wanting you to come. Revelation chapter 22, the last time he says come here. In the last verse of the last part of your Bible, the last chapter. Revelation chapter number 22, verse number 17. The Bible says this, his last invitation to come. Listen to me, there'll be one day, there'll be a last day, you're going to get a chance. Listen, by the way, today might be your last chance to come. It might be your last offer. You don't know. You might leave this world today. You don't know that, amen. Hey, by the way, you might live and God never call you again. Hey, he's calling, amen. He calls for rest. He calls for reassurance. He calls for refreshing. And he calls for redemption, amen. In Revelation 22, verse 17, and the Spirit and the bride say what? Come. And let him that heareth say what? Come. Have you heard? And ask somebody to come then. And let him that has a thirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely, amen. It don't cost you anything. He said it's free. It's already been paid for by the blood of the Lamb. He says, come, amen. What are you waiting on? Why are you dying and going to a devil's hell when his price has already been paid and the invitation is offered to you and the Spirit of God is beckoning on your heart to come? Don't you die and go to a devil's hell. Don't you die lost without Jesus Christ. Come while He's calling you, amen. There's an exhortation to come. Look back with me in Luke, if you will, in chapter 14. He says, come. Come. He's calling us to come. What does He say? I want you to see this. Luke 24, verse number 17 again. And He sent His servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden. What did He say? Come. That ain't all He said, though. He said, come, for all things are now ready. The exhortation to come. Then He says, all things. What do you mean, all things? All things are provided in Jesus Christ. He's asking you to come to the supper, and He didn't say bring a dessert. He didn't say bring a 2-liter drink. He didn't say bring a side. He didn't say bring some beans. He didn't say bring some rice. He didn't say bring some fat bag. He said all things. Amen. I've got it all. Amen. I've provided it all. Amen. If God's asking you to come, you listen to me. I'm telling you something this morning. By the Spirit of God, He's saying come. And He's saying come. I've got all things. He'll say, preacher, what's He calling me to? I don't know what He's calling you to. He might be calling you to salvation. If He is, He's got all things to save your soul. If He's calling you to service, He said, I got all things for service. I got all things for surrender. Whatever He's saying to do, just come, because He's got all things. You know what our problem is? We'll look at God and say, no, I can't make it, God. You just don't know me. I can't do it. Amen. I can't be saved. I can't surrender. I can't do something for you. He said, I said, come, and all things are ready. I've got it all ready. I've got it all taken care of. I've provided it all, and I'm going to take care of the journey. Amen. Why don't you come and dine this morning? Why don't you come to the invitation of God? He's calling you to come. All things are provided in Jesus Christ. He's got life for your death. He's got forgiveness for your sins. He's got cleansing from your filth. He's got clothing from your nakedness. He's got joy for your sorrow. Amen. He's got strength for your weakness. Amen. All things are provided in Him. He's provided all. He's made all provisions. And He's prepared all things. Amen.
Amen.
Come. For all things. You know what all things are? All things. You preacher, you mean that? Yeah, He's got that covered. You know, preacher, you don't know what I got. No, He's got it all. Whatever He's telling you to do, He said, I got all things. And I wouldn't call you if I couldn't do it. If God's calling you to something, you need to get out of your lack of faith and start trusting the God that's called you to come. You know how many people leave out lost? They think, I can't get saved. God said, I got all things. They say, God can't use me. God's got all things. Hey, God, I can't surrender. God's got all things. I'm going through this and I got this in my life. He says, come, because I got all things. Just surrender to me and trust me to do what I said I'd do.
Amen.
But I'll guarantee you, when we come to the marriage supper of the Lamb, Brother Barry, it's going to be a spread, brother. Ain't anything going to be missing, amen. Ain't going to be any beans missing on the table. There'll be gravy there. There'll be rice there. There'll be sweet tea. There'll be cat head biscuits. It'll have it all, brother. A little side of watermelon. A salad on the side, just in case you're a vegetarian. He's got that, amen. Don't you worry about it. God's got all things, amen. You know what He's saying? I provided it. What you worried about? If I've asked you to come, hey, lose your lack of faith. Hey, God, ask God, God, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Hey, God, I help you. Amen.
Amen.
He said, come for all things, brother, all things. He's provided it all. He's got all the provisions. He's prepared the table. You are not to prepare a thing. He's provided it all. You know why a lot of people won't come to the invitation? Because they think, well, I didn't prepare nothing. It's kind of like having something at the church, you know, homecoming. Well, I didn't make nothing, preacher. I can't come. You know, I just don't feel right. I didn't make nothing. You know? I know how you feel like that, amen. Hey, but when it comes to the things of the Lord, and God says, come, don't you worry about providing anything. He's unprovided it all. By the way, you can't provide anything. And for you to provide anything is the insult to what He's provided. You think you can make it better than He can? You lost your mind. You can't make groceries like God can. Hey, you can't make... What are you saying? But you're talking about food? No, I'm talking about greater things than food, amen. I'm talking about the things of God that God's calling you to do. You can't provide it, amen. You can't make yourself a preacher. You can't make yourself a Sunday school teacher. You can't make yourself a child of God. You can't make yourself a servant of God. He said, come, all things. I've got it covered. I've provided it all. And don't insult me to try to help me do it, amen. Just come and enjoy the blessings of God. Amen. Hey, brother, can I tell you something? The best day of my life was when I come and just bow at the knees of feet of Jesus, brother. Bow the knee to a holy God. Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to the cross I cling. He provided it all. He made all the provision. And I came with empty hands saying, God, I need you. That's what I've done in salvation. That's what I've been trying to do in service. I can't do it, but I need God. And He can do it. Amen. What is it God can't do in your life that you need? And He's saying, come. What is it? What is it you're struggling with? He said, come. All things. All things. Not a thing He can't provide. There's not a provision He can't make. I told you it's a disgrace and an insult to think you can add anything to all things. God has provided them. He not only said, come. Look at it again, verse 17. Come. There's the exhortation. There's the call. For all things, what are now ready. Why like that? You wives and husbands, some of your husbands cook, prepare a meal. Every once in a while, you can cook on the grill. You know what? I don't know. Yeah, I guess my wife does the same way. She acts like it. She does anyhow. But I know how I feel if I cook something on the grill. When it's now ready, we need to eat. Brother, them pork chops are best when they now ready. That steak's best when it's now ready. It ain't good when you have to take it off early. It ain't good when you have to keep reheating and keep it warm because somebody ain't came in yet and you done said the table's spread. It's time. Mama said, come, let's go. Well, now all things are ready. It's all prepared right now. You know what God said? All things are ready right now. Don't you insult God to wait another moment. What are you waiting on? And God said, it's ready right now. You want Him to prolong it? Amen. God said, it's ready right now. And if God's calling you, you listen to me. If God is calling you, God knows how to enable you. God knows how to provide. And don't you insult God to wait any longer. God's made it ready right now. Quit wasting your life to surrender to salvation. Quit wasting your life to surrender to service. Yeah. If God has called you to do it, let's come right now. Don't wait any longer. The best time to come is when it's ready. Amen. You know how many child of God, you know how many sinners, you know how many, some of you that are saved, you could stand up right now and testify. You say, man, there was a time in my life when God told me it was ready right then and I waited. And for 10 years, 5 years, 1 year, 7 years, 20 years, I wasted my life and didn't come when it was ready. Brother, you know when you come when it's ready, brother, you get the best of it all. The sweetest taste of every bit of it. You don't miss anything, brother. There's no delay. It's right there. It's hot and crisp and right and just off the table. Amen. The banana pudding is still warm and ain't been put in the refrigerator. Amen. That's when it's best. Amen. It's right now ready. And some of you wasted time. Thank God He came back and called you. Got another chance. Amen. But you know when the best time was when He called you to start with. The best time to come to service is right now when He's calling you. We're wasting years and wasting time. Come right now. It's ready. Amen. What are you waiting on? He says, come, for all things are now ready.
Amen.
It's ready now. It's now ready. Now. Don't be early. Don't be late. You're cooking a meal. Nobody wants anybody to be early. Don't you jump the gun on God. But at the same time, don't you be late neither. It's just as bad. The condition is best now. The enjoyment is best now. Wait no longer. Don't be careless. Enjoy the comfort now. Come. For all things are now ready. Look in Romans chapter 13. Hold your place here in Luke. Amen. The exhortation is to come. All things are ready now. All things. Quit wasting time, child of God. There's an invitation coming from this pulpit today and God is calling you to something. God is speaking to your heart about something. Maybe sinner, He's calling you to salvation. Maybe child of God, you've been tossed to and fro and you need a little bit of rest. Need some reassurance. You need some refreshing. I don't know what it is. Maybe you need redemption. I'm telling you one thing. If you be honest with God, the Holy Spirit of God has already showed you what you need. And if you need to come, you come. It is ready now. Romans 13. Look in verse number 11. Romans 13, 11. Look at this. Here's what Paul said to the people of Rome. Romans chapter 13, verse 11. What's the first word? We in the same place this time? In the same book, right? Bible says, and that now, knowing the time. That when? now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For when? Now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Is God calling you now to cast off some darkness? Is He calling you now to put on some armor of light? Is He calling you, child of God, to quit living a halfway Christian life? Quit one foot in the church and one foot in the world, straddling the fence, and God saying, come, now it is ready. Your salvation is nearer than when you believe. Jesus Christ is closer to coming back now than He ever has. Amen. Cast off the works of darkness. He's calling you to come. Look at what He goes on to say here. He said, let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting or drunkenness, nor in chambering or wantonness, not in strife and envy, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put Him on, amen, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. He said, come, it's ready, all things are ready. Now it's ready. Now it's time to come, amen. When should I come? Now. He says, now is the day of salvation. When you hear His voice, harden not your heart. Is He calling you to be saved? Is He calling you to service? Is He calling you to surrender? Is He calling you to separation? Is He calling you out from among this world? God's calling this morning. Listen, because all things are ready now. There's the exhortation. Look back in Luke chapter 14. It would be good if it was just an exhortation. But it's not that simple. It's not only an exhortation. We see the exhortation, but we see the excuses. Maybe some of you are in that position right at the moment. You know the Spirit of God is saying, come. The servant has come to you. He's already spoke to you about what you need to do. And the whole time He's been saying to you, come, you've been making excuses.
Amen.
They've been beating around in your mind right now. Been going on ever since the service started when you've been beckoned to come. Been beckoned to surrender. Been beckoned to sell out. Amen. And God's saying, come. Been beckoned to salvation. And the whole time you're making excuses. And I'll guarantee you one thing, the devil will keep pumping them in your brain. He'll keep giving them to you. He'll give you a reason why to stay in that seat. He'll give you a reason why not to come. You even think of some on your own. But listen, your excuses make no sense. They're no different than the three that were given here. They don't hold any water. Amen. He said, I provided all things. I'm the one that's called and it's ready right now. What kind of excuse can you put before God has provided it all, has made all provision, and He said it's right now ready, brother. How can we resist the call to come? Amen.
Amen.
And we still do it. What is the excuses? Let's look at a few of them. Verse number 18, the Bible says this, and they all, with one consent, began to make excuse. Oh, you know what would be sad this morning? If we leave this place, and I know God is dealing with hearts, with salvation, surrender, separation, callings, amen, service. I know there's no doubt God's doing something today. You know what would be sad? If all of you with one consent begin to make excuse and leave out the same way you came.
Amen.
You know, we prayed this after we read our scripture this morning, and I prayed the part that I prayed that God would change lives from this day forward in this sanctuary today. You know, I know He can.
Amen.
The only thing hindering God from doing it is you letting Him. He said, come. Come's a call. It's a call. Come. You can get in if you want it. But at the same time you can get in, you can resist. The excuses are made. One by one, the Bible said they began to make excuse. The Bible says they said this in verses number 18, and they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. I bought a piece of what? Ground. You know what kind of excuse this is? This is an excuse of worldly possessions. I bought a piece of ground. I'm connected to this world. You say, preacher, I can't come. I've got too many ties to the world. The worldly possessions are holding me back. You may think that you have too much of the world. You may think that too much of the world is too much for you. Amen. You can't do enough for God. You can't do anything for God. You've got your piece of land. You think there's too much. I got too much of the world. I got too many responsibilities. And it's too much for Him to do something in my life. You just don't know what kind of worldly possessions I got. You don't know how enriched I am in this world, preacher. You don't know how much I've been doing against God. I bought a piece of ground and I must needs go try and prove it. I'm just tied into this thing. I'm living too deep in sin. And I can't come. You just don't understand. I can't come. He'll never accept me. I got too many worldly possessions. I've done too much wrong. I've done too much evil. I'm too deep into this world. And it's too much for Him to... Listen, let me tell you. He said, come. All things are now ready. I don't care what kind of worldly possessions you got. I don't care how deep you are in this world. I don't care how deep you are in sin. If God is saying, come, He can get you out of it. Amen.
Amen.
You know how many people resist the call because they think they're too far deep in this world? They got too many worldly possessions. They're too far gone in sin. Hey, listen, there's no person too far gone in sin that if God is calling, they can't get out. God has provided all things. He can deliver you out of whatever sin you're in. Amen. He can deliver you out of any trial you're in. He can deliver you out of any struggle you got. Listen, God is saying, come. You say, preacher, you don't know what I did against him. You don't know how I've let him down. You don't know how I've turned my back on him. You don't know how I ain't done what I ought to have done. I've got too many possessions. I've done too much wrong in this world. I'm too deep in it. I must go prove it. I've got to go prove it. I've got to go take care of it. I just went too far. I can't get out. God said, come. He said, get out of it. I'm telling you, you can get out. You're not too deep. Amen. All things are provided. He's made all things ready. He said, now come. Surrender and give it all to God. Amen. Worldly possessions is holding you back. You know what's wrong? Too many people are growing things down here. I've bought a piece of ground. What are you going to do with that ground? You're going to sow some seeds in it. You're going to grow some crops in it. You know what's wrong with too many people today? They're growing too much down here. They're too much in this world. Amen. He said, seek ye those things which are above. I'm forgetting those things in this world. Put them behind you. Amen. Let it go. Amen. God can help you if you'll just come. Made an excuse. I've got too many things down here growing. I've got too many wild leaves, wild bushes. You know what some of you are back there thinking? Some of you young people, you think, well, I got a few more wild oats I got to sow. I got to live a little bit more in the world. I got to just try it a little bit more. I'm going to come back to God. I know that God's the best thing, but I'm enjoying myself right now. Listen, your devil's lying to you. The Bible said there's pleasure in sin, but it's for a season. But it might cost you more than you think it's going to cost you. You better get out of it while God's trying to get you out of it. God's made a way of escape this morning. He's come with an invitation with arms stretched wide open. He says, get out of it. Dump your worldly possession. Get all in for God. Get away from this world. Stop sowing oats in this world. Come, stop growing a crop of sin and come to God. Amen. Let the Holy Ghost of God, amen, reap your crop this morning and bring you to God. Amen. He said, I got too many excuses. Amen. I got too many worldly possessions. I bought a piece of ground. I must go prove it. Amen. I'm too entitled with this world. Too many of God's people are too entitled with this world to get anything done for God. You got to leave this world behind and go all in for God. You know what some people think? Well, I don't need Christ for all things because I already have too much. I've got a lot. Some of you may be out there thinking, you're thinking, well, you're talking about coming to this Jesus and coming to, I bought a piece of land. You know what he said? He said, I bought a piece of ground and I must needs go see it. You know why some people won't come to God? Because they got too much. You don't think you need God because you got it all figured out. You know, you done bought your land. You're going to go prove it. You're going to grow your own crop. You're going to do your own thing. You're going to pursue your own agenda. You got your own schooling in, your own education. You're going that way of the world, and you ain't got time for a calling for God because I'm too enriched in school now. I've gone too far in schooling, and I've got educated a little bit, and I've got a career to live. Amen. Hey, if your career is in the way of God, you need to dump your career. I'm not against careers. I'm not against having things and jobs and living in this world. But if God is calling you away from it, don't you use it for an excuse. I done went to school for 10 years. I can't do nothing for God now. But I've seen many of preachers that God called them out of school and called them for a work of God. You got to let it go. You got to put it behind you. Quit using excuses. Amen. God's made all things ready now. Amen. Worldly possessions is holding people back. Not only is worldly possessions holding people back, but worldly pride. The Bible said in verse number 19, and another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excuse. I've got too much to do. I'm just too busy. I don't got time for God. I don't have time for church. How many times have you heard these sorry excuses? Man, well, I work all the time. I don't have time. Sunday's my only day off. You know, I don't have time. You know, I don't have time for God. I don't have time for the things of God. You know, I've got 5 yoke of oxen I got to take care of. I got to prove them. Pray thee have me excused. I've got too much to do, and I had too many abilities to do it. I've got the ability to do it. He said, I must go and prove them. Nobody else is going to prove his oxen. He's going to prove them himself. You know what he's saying? I've got a lot in this world and I've got a lot to do and I've got the ability to do it. and I don't need God. I got my own ability. I got my own way of life. I can do it without God. Amen. I can run my own oxen. Amen. I'm my own man. I can do my own thing. Pride runs in people's lives. They don't need God. Got it all figured out. Amen. Already got a career. Amen. My lights are paid all the time. My bills are paid. My family's happy. I'm raising a child for good moral standards. And me and my wife just get along good. I got 5 oxen. I got to prove it. I know how to handle it. I know how to run my life. I don't need no Jesus or no God in my life. Worldly pride will destroy people and make excuses why not to come. Sinful self. Someone said this and I thought it was very good. Sinful self is a devil. Sinful self. That means to live in sin is a devil. For you to live like hell, that's a devil. But listen to this. Sinful sin is a devil. But righteous self is sinning devils. Think about that for a minute. It's one thing to be a sinner and know you're a sinner. That's a devil. But for you to be a righteous self, that's 7 devils. Because you think you got it all figured out. You can do it without God. I don't need God. Pride goeth before destruction, the Holy Spirit before a fall. God will knock you on your face. Amen. You need to be knocked on your face that you might look up to God. Amen. He's making it. I got it, man. I've got 5 oxen. I've got it all. I'm going to prove them. I've got the abilities. I got the resources. I can do it. I don't need God. Amen. I prayed that he had an excuse. The third excuse was made of worldly pleasure. Or pressure, if you will. That's the way I look at it. Verse 20. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. What is that, preacher? That's not worldly possessions. That's not worldly pride. That's worldly pressure. There'll nobody put pressure on you like your mate. Some are living under worldly pressure. I married a wife, and I can't come. Well, I like to go all in for God, but if I go all in for God, I'm going to have to put up with hell with my wife. If I go to church all the time and serve God like I ought to, I'm put up with hell with my husband. It's worldly pressure. And that pressure is keeping you from coming. It's keeping you from going all in for God. Maybe that pressure is coming from a mate like it is in this case. I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come. And some of you can't do nothing because of your mate. Listen, you need to resist your mate and give to God. Amen. God said all things are ready to come. You let God. You know what? You know what? You know what might be holding your spouse back from going all in for God? You going all in for God.
Yeah. Amen.
You say, but well, I'm in there and they're not. But you're not all in.
Right.
You going all in might have to put up with a little hell, but that righteousness in your life might produce righteousness in her life. It might produce righteousness in his life, but you're going to have to take the step and go against the pressure and go in when God says, come.
Amen.
Maybe it's a mate. Maybe it's a mate. Maybe it's family. Maybe family's pressuring you. Oh, you're going to go to church all the time. You're going to serve God. You're going to give tracts out. You're going to pray. You're going to live holy Joe kind of life. And maybe that family pressure is on you and it's holding you back from going all in for God. And God says, come, for all things are now ready. He's going to take care of the pressure. He can relieve the pressure. Won't you just come to Him? Maybe your resistance to come is the pressure of a family member. Maybe it's the pressure of a job. Well, I can't go all in. My job's holding me back. Amen. I just can't do it. Amen. Maybe the pressure's the job. Maybe the pressure's your finances. Well, you just don't know, preacher. I just can't do it, man. I just can't pay my bills now. And I can't do what's right with God with my money. Listen, maybe the pressure's holding you back from going all in for God. You need to start trusting God and go all in with Him and watch Him do what He said He'd do.
Amen.
Well, I can't tithe. I can't give the missions. My pressure's too rough. I can't even pay the bills I got. Maybe the reason why you can't pay them is because you won't do what's right. Amen. Maybe it's your health. Maybe it's the pressure of health. You say, God can't use me. I'm just nobody. I can't even half speak good. You know, I can't walk. I've seen God call people that could preach in wheelchairs.
Yep.
I've called them mission fields with Down syndrome. What your health's holding you up? God said, man, come. All things are now ready. He said, preacher, I just can't help God get saved. You ain't got to help Him get saved. He done it all. Your health holding you back and giving your life to God. Your health holding you back and going off. Maybe it's the past. Maybe it's the pressure of the past. Maybe some of you are back there got some pressure of past in your life. You say, well, I understand. I know God's just calling me and God's, but you don't know what I've done. You don't know how I've let God down. You know what He said? Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before. For I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God of Christ Jesus. Amen. You need to press forward. You need to forget the past. You said, but you know, I've made mistakes. I don't care. God said, come. All things are now ready. If God said, come, God's forgave the past.
Amen.
Well, some of you need to forgive yourself.
Yeah.
God's forgiven you. God wants to use you. And as long as you keep using excuses of the worldly pressure on your life, whether it be a mate, whether it be family members, whether it be finances, whether it be health, whether it be the past, I don't know what it is, but don't let these worldly pressures influence you to say no to the calling of God. Amen. Amen. Come, for all things are now ready. They're ready. They're ready. The pressure. I've married a wife and I cannot come. I just can't make it. Maybe friends. Maybe it's your friends, young people. Maybe the pressure of friends is keeping you from going all in. Oh, they're going to make fun of me. They're going to mock me. I've already told them a couple of times I went all in for God, and they've seen me come back and do junk I shouldn't do, and I've been made mistakes in front of them. Oh, no, I can't do it again. Yes, you can. God's saying, come.
Amen.
I said, come. Now, all things are ready now. Come on. Come on. What you waiting on? God wants to help you. Don't you let friends and the pressure of friends keep you from going all in for God. You know what, if you're not careful, you'll feel like this guy. He didn't pray to be excused as the others did, as I've told you. He felt like everyone should really understand. There's some of you right now, you're thinking, preacher, yeah, I know what you're saying, but you just don't know my life, and everybody surely ought to understand my situation. He said, I married a wife, and I just can't come. You know what your pressure is, and you feel like because of that pressure in your life, everybody ought to understand me, preacher. I've been through so much. I've lost a husband, and I just can't go anymore, you know. I've lost children. I can't go anymore. You know, I've lost my finances, and I've done, you know, you just feel like, you really feel like you're really excused. You're not. Nobody's excused when God says come. You know what, if you're not careful, some of you can find some Bible verses to justify it.
Yeah.
He said, I married a wife and I cannot come. Over in the book of Deuteronomy, it talks about he that married a wife, he shouldn't come, go spend time with his wife. Over in the book of Corinthians, he said that he that's married, he care for the things of this world that he might please his wife. There's some scriptures to justify. Right. Now, some people are, they'll even find enough scriptures to justify, I just can't come. This scripture's against me and that one's against me. And if you'd be honest, you're taking it out of context, just trying to justify not coming. Excuses. The exhortation to come. The excuses were made. Then we see the exception in closing. What's the exception? Look in verse 21. So the servant came. Maybe right now. Maybe this could really be going on right now. See, we got our problem. We don't think it's real. God's been beckoning some of you right now to come, and some of you have already made up your mind. You have justified a reason why not to come. And the same servant, the Spirit of God, telling God right now, say, God, quit, forget it, they ain't coming. They're not going to move. There's some of you out there, you done made up your mind, I'm not moving. I'm too entangled with this world, I got too much pressure, I'm excused, let me go, I'm getting out of here, hurry up and finish, let's go home. Look at the Bible. It says something about you if you feel like that. So the servant came and showed his Lord these things. What did he show him? The excuses. Then the master of the house being angry. Can I tell you something? If you deny God, God's mad with you. You say, God, yes, he's angry. He's angry with you resisting his call. You know why you'll die and go to hell? You resist the blood of Jesus Christ? Because God is angry with you turning down his son.
Amen.
Well, God wouldn't send me to hell. Everybody's a child of God and everybody's going to heaven. Somebody lied to you. You reject God's offer to come and his sacrifice, you're going to hell. He's angry with you. He's upset with you right now. He's upset with you as a Christian if you won't listen to the call to come. Look at what he says here in the Bible. So the servant came and showed the Lord these things, and the master of the house, being angry, said to his servants, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. He said, go out there and get these people. They don't want it. Let them go. Let them have what they want. I'll go get me somebody else. Let me tell you something. God will pass you by and use another. You better hope he don't pass you by. You better quit resisting God. You better quit making excuses. God will use somebody else in spite of you. Know what he said, go get? He said, go get the poor. Go get the poor. They got too many possessions. They got too many options. They got too much land. Go get me somebody ain't got nothing. Go get the poor. Go get the people that are not fit. They're not fit to be near respectable people. They could not bring anything to the Lord's table. They're poor. They've got nothing to bring. They can't even offer to bring something because they couldn't bring it if they wanted to. They're poor. Got no excuse. He said, go get the poor. Worldly pride and possessions has no hold on them. Amen. Hey, what has happened to us as children of God? There was a time in our life that worldly possessions and the things of this world had no hold on us. We were all living for God. We were living for God. We were poor sinners saved by the grace of God. You know what's happened to some of you? God's blessed your life. You had nothing when you got saved.
Right.
Nothing. Nothing if it wasn't for the grace of God coming to where you were.
Right.
You were on your way to a devil's hell. Hell, God's been good to you, and the worldly possessions has taken you away from the call of God. Used to be a time you wouldn't dare missing the things of God. You wouldn't, if it was going on at your church, you were going to be there. You know what's happened? You've increased with possessions. You bought a little bit of land, bought a couple of oxen, and you got some worldly possessions, and now, you know, let somebody else do it. You've lost your thankfulness. He said, okay, go get me another poor one. They turn my blessings into a cursing. Go get me another and raise another one up. Let them go do what they want to do. Let them enjoy their sin. Let them enjoy this possession. I'm coming back one day and I'm going to show my anger. Go get me the poor. What's happened to us? Worldly pride and possessions has entered in, and it was a time we could do nothing without God. We had nothing without God, and we would come just at the slightest beckon of call. Now somebody's got to twist your arm to do something for God. And then when they do it, you think, well, why couldn't somebody else do it? There was a time in your life you didn't care if anybody else done it. You were just thankful you could do it. He said, bring the poor. They got nothing to bring. He said, not only the poor, but bring me the maimed. What is the maimed? These are the people that's maybe got a missing arm, got a missing fingers, got missing toes, missing legs, a missing nose, maybe an ear, you know, just maimed up, like an old maimed dog. He said, go get the maimed. They got no attraction to appearance. They couldn't get a wife if they wanted one. They're maimed. Nobody wants to marry them. They're nothing. They're filth. They're maimed. It doesn't matter. It don't matter if the disfigurements. It doesn't hinder God's ability. It doesn't matter if you don't have the greatest appearance before man. It don't matter if you don't have the greatest speech. He says, come unto Him. He can use you. All things are now ready. You'll say, bitch, I'm maimed. I'm disfigured. I got inabilities. I got some things wrong with me. He said, I don't care. Go get me the poor. Go get me the maimed. I've made all things ready. I've provided all. I'm going to get all the glory. Bring it to me. Amen. What is it? Is it your poorness? Is it your maimedness? Is it the fact that you're halt? He said, go get me the maimed. Go get me the halt. They couldn't work if they wanted to. They couldn't prove any oxen. They can't even walk. They're halt. Go get them. Verse 19, another said, I bought five yoke of oxen. I go to prove them. The halt can't prove nothing. He said, go get me the kind that I know don't have an excuse.
Yeah.
Bring the halt in. Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. That's where we need to be this morning. Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. God, if you want this old poor boy, I want you. God, you want this old maimed person, I want you. You want this old halt individual, I want you, God. I'm just glad you provided it all for me. I'm just glad you offered. I'm glad you come by my way. Bring the poor. Bring the maimed. Bring the halt. Bring the blind. What is the blind? They couldn't see land if they wanted to. He said, I bought the land and I got to go see it. He said, go get me somebody blind.
Amen.
Couldn't see if they wanted to. You know what a blind person has to do? The blind person has to depend on another one to follow him.
Amen.
He said, go get the blind. They'll reach their hand out to me and they'll follow me.
Yes.
Hey, you remember when by blind faith you accepted Jesus Christ?
Yes.
You didn't see how you can do it. You didn't see how you can get saved. You didn't know how you can get out of the mess you was in. You was fit for nothing. You was on your way to a devil's hell. But by blind faith you reached out to the Holy God and He pulled you in. God said, go get me the blind. Amen. God wants you this morning. It doesn't matter your inabilities. It doesn't matter the excuses you got. God's made a way. All things are now ready.
Amen.
What are you waiting on? He said, I got somebody. Go get them. Go get them. And then he said, and go get anybody else. Verse 23, and the servant said, Lord, I have done all as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. I went and got the blind. I went and got the maimed. I went and got the halt. There's still room. And the Lord said unto his servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come that my house may be filled. He said, whosoever will, let him come. Let him come. I will no wise cast him out. He'd go get anybody else. It doesn't matter what their inability. It doesn't matter what's going on in their life. He said, go get them all. Go out in the highways. Go out in the hedges. Go get somebody. Just bring them. I've made it ready. I've prepared it all. And I want it full. The exception. God's made exceptions. He's made a way. My knowledge, listen to me. My knowledge of my inabilities is what caused me to come to Christ's invitation to enjoy satisfaction. It was the fact that I had inabilities in my life that caused me to come to Him for the satisfaction of His invitation.
Amen.
What do you mean, preacher? It was the fact that I was raised in a broken home. It was the fact that I didn't have nothing. It was the fact that I was poor. It was the fact that nobody wanted me. It was the fact that I wasn't eloquent in anything. I couldn't save myself, but I had no righteousness. I had no Bible knowledge. I knew not how to pray. I knew not how to read my Bible. It was the inabilities in my life that longed for the satisfaction that God offered. Amen. And I came to God with blind faith, an old poor old sinner on my way to hell, and God saved my soul. Thank God He invited me. Amen. The inabilities that will cause you to be satisfied. Yeah. Listen, you know what some of you need? You need some satisfaction. Yeah. God's the only one that can satisfy your soul. He's the only one that can fill the longing of your heart. Why don't you come while He's calling? For now, all things are ready. Come. Come. Look with me in 1 Corinthians, and I'll close with this. Chapter 1. What is it He's calling you to do? The sooner you realize that you are unable, the sooner you realize that you do need satisfaction from God and only He can give it, the sooner you'll get it. You need to have knowledge of your inabilities. You know, we're living in a society today where it's just positive thinking crowd garbage. No, it's your inabilities and your insufficiencies that causes you to look to the one that you need. Look at this in 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, verse 26. Paul said this. He said, for you see your calling, brethren. You see your calling, brethren. God's calling you. He's calling right here about the preach. But God's calling you now for something. Spiritually, God's calling you. You see your calling, brethren. He says, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. For God had chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. That's what He did in Luke. These people had everything, so He chose the foolish things of the world to confound them. The Bible says this, and God had chosen what? The weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised had God chosen. Yea, and things that which are not to bring to naught things that are. You know, when he called Moses, you know Moses, he's a great man of God. But you know what he was before he was a great man of God? He's just an old shepherd boy. God chose an old shepherd to deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt. He called old Abraham, an old heathen, and made him a man of many nations. God chooses weak things. God chose old Jonah. God called old Amos, an old farmer. It's the old weak things. God chose a little boy with two loaves and five fish, something like that. He didn't have much. He was just an old lowly little boy. God chose the weak things to make mighty things. God wants to use you and make something out of you if you'll just let Him. He said this. Why did He do it that way? That no flesh should glory in His presence.
Amen.
But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. If there's anything in you that is godly, it's because of God. If you're saved, it's because Jesus Christ provided all things. If you are called in a service, it's because He provided all things. It wasn't our abilities, it was our inabilities that God wanted to use to get glory to Himself. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I don't know how God has spoken to your heart, but He's given the invitation. He said in Luke again, Luke 14, verse 17, "Come, for all things are now ready." Come, for all things are now ready. It's ready. God's made it ready. God can do it. God can save your soul. Now listen to me. You don't have to leave here lost without God. You don't have to die and go to hell. All things are ready now. God's made it. Service, surrender, separation. I don't care what it is. Whatever God is calling you to do, He's made all things ready. Why don't you be sensitive to God and come? So, preacher, I don't know what to do. You just come. You bow at this altar, slip your hand up. I'll come where you are. I'll have somebody to come to you. We'll help you to get through that thing that you're dealing with. Why don't you come? You need to come talk to the Lord by yourself. You come talk to the Lord by yourself. Listen to me. If there's one thing you better do, though, you better come if He's calling. Don't you leave this place with God angry at you because you rejected His call to come. 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 It's a preacher, I can't do it. He said, for all things. He's already done it. It's a preacher, not right now. He said, or now ready. Now. Now is the day of salvation. God wants to save you right now. God wants to call you right now. God wants you for service now. He's choosing you as a vessel. Calling you. God wants you to separate now. It's ready. Time's ready. Time's right. Let's do it. Would you come? Would you come? Take your time. Now's the time. Come on. Don't resist Him. Don't tell His servant no. Don't resist the drawing and conviction of the Holy Ghost in your bosom. Come on. Humble your pride. Be thankful that He would even call you.
Amen.
Come on. Go play something on the piano. You play it, pray as long as you need to. Some of you still need to come. You need to throw them excuses behind you and come. Come. Be an exception. Be one of those that comes. We need more people to come out from the way the flow of the majority of this world and step out and go for God.
Amen.
Be an exception to the rule. Come all in for God. Come on. He can do it. So, preacher, I don't know if He can. You just come and say, God, I believe in You. Help thou mine unbelief. He can do it.